Hello guys, it's been a long game week 21 and welcome again to another episode of FPL Kobe Talks, where three gentlemen share views of the game we love, Fantasy Premier League. I'm Anwar, the FPL casual.
I am ABK, the Arsenal loyalist.
And I am Lukman, the sensible one. So, first episode after a long time back, after our Centurion episode, man. What are you feeling, guys?
Yeah, do you
how
see
was
the,
good?
I haven't really had time to see the listens. Was it a high number of listens or not?
I forgot. I think the last time I saw was last week.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of good comments from everyone who thanked us. I would just like to say that we appreciate all the support and thanks for listening to that monster pod. To those of you listening, listen to that 1 hour 40 odd minutes.
Yeah.
Do you guys listening really back to the pod?
Yeah, bro. I think Pottingham, bro. He cemented his place in this season. Folklore, man. Always be Pottingham number one, in our top 10
list. Yeah.
Anyway, for those of you listening, we're trying. We're moving forward. We're doing something new. So we'll be splitting this podcast episode into two. So the first one, you hear our takes on the game week 21, the current game week. Who are the standout players? Who were the? What's the opposite of standout?
Underperforming
players. And then in the next episode, you hear our takes on some burning questions, FPL related, as well as our hot takes on what we think we will be doing moving forward. Right?
Yep. And then, as always, do give us some feedback on this kind of new segmenting of our podcast. If you like it, if you don't like it, just let us know on Telegram. That would be great.
Alright, so let's start the pod. But before that, don't forget to follow FPL Kopi Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube and X.
Yep, don't forget to rate this podcast, give us a 5-star rating and help us with the outreach, guys.
Also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to today's pod, and without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 101. You Jota be kidding. Let's get into it.
Diogo.
Boss, kopi o satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks.
It's Freddie Young back again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Tall Grande Venti, where we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. Anwar?
Take the stage, Anwar. Hey, yeah, honestly, yeah, I mean, this week, right, before the Liverpool game, I thought I was going to be the last one to... Lukman got really big haul. So take it away.
So yeah, going into this game week, I had a decision to make to replace Son and Salah. I should have listened to Lukman and went ahead with. I mean, like the first plan was like Richarlison and someone else, right? And then did a bit of tinkering and I ended up with Luis Diaz and Pedro Neto. So 45 points this week. I felt he was the most nailed in this Liverpool team. But you know what? Klopp threw a spanner in the work, man. He started on the right side. I think that's not his most impactful side, lah. And then Nunes and Jota had a world of a game. So I think they moved their formation a little bit also in the second half.
The question was why not Foden? I think Foden was in your shortlist, right? Richarlison.
Foden, like I said, De Bruyne is coming back and thankfully I didn't go with Foden as well. I think he would have not been a good choice moving forward.
He's doubling 25.
I could have De Bruyne instead of Foden in that position.
You can have both. Continue.
And then so 45 points. Neto and DS didn't really blank. They got 3 points each. I think pretty decent clean sheet. Not much going there. But I think the worst decision I made was with my captaincy decision. So I went in with Ollie Watkins and he only returned one point, and then with a captaincy that's what I think really set me back. So I think overall red arrows all around, but I think not too bad lah. I was like 500-ish in Singapore last week, 50k-ish. I'm down 20k to 70k. So I think still pretty decent. I was expecting to go like past 100k.
A bigger.
So pretty decent. Mm. Like not too bad of a hit. But
got a Darwin, bro.
But Darwin goals, Diogo Jota 4-0 against Bournemouth, and then seeing this Liverpool team filling in youngsters, it was just a good week lah. I mean, like I thought it was a solid performance. It was worth staying up on a Sunday night. So not too bad all around. I won't fail this week. I'll give it a decent 5.83 out of 10.
Okay.
I'm next. I'm actually pretty close to Lukman's score this week. I think me and Lukman, we're not very representative of what's happening overall. I think lots of people are suffering red arrows this week. Yeah, so yeah, it makes
don't
the
look too much.
So it makes the green arrows much more nicer this week. Sweeter, yes. Yeah. So I jumped. I had an overall ranking was about 1.5 million at the start, and then I ended the game week just shy of the million, so 1,022,000 overall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So 75 points this week. I made a really good transfer this week. I had to get rid of Salah, and the person I got rid of Salah for was for De Bruyne. I think I wasn't here in the previous episode where we were talking about our plans. Yeah. So I actually went in early on De Bruyne, even knowing that he was gonna get like maybe 30, 40 minutes. Because I was
good call. Good call. Class of a player.
Why? Is it a good call though? Knowing that he only will get 30 minutes.
Why
do you still buy him?
Because I knew that. Okay, so my decision was I wanted to get Foden at first. Right. But my reservation was that De Bruyne, I'm not sure how that will impact Foden's minutes or Foden's attacking returns. And then De Bruyne is also a good pick, you know? Like, long term, De Bruyne is a good pick.
Yeah,
you know?
Correct.
So why do I want to get in Foden for 1 week and have to, you know, figure out what I want to do with De Bruyne? Just go in early with De Bruyne? Why not go in early with De Bruyne and see what he gets for me in this 30 minutes, and then hopefully the next game week he gives me higher
points.
You
took a pun, right?
Yeah,
It paid off, man.
Because I fully expected De Bruyne to get like 2 points, 3 points this week, or even 1 point this week, because he's only coming in 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I took that risk, and I think it paid off for me. He came on and he really had a good game. So quite happy with my pick. And then also Gabriel also with big points for me. So let me just run through my team.
Gabriel.
Run through my team.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I set up in a 4-4-2. TAA, Gusto, Gabriel, and Pedro Porro. My keeper is, of course, Areola against Sheffield United. Everyone thought that he was going to keep a clean sheet. Of course, he would. Basically, for keepers, you can never predict who keeps a clean sheet. You just have to...
Not this season.
Have to stick to your keeper and then see eventually he'll keep a clean sheet. So anyway, TAA didn't play, so Sterling came on for me first off the bench. So Sterling, I think he won a penalty for Chelsea, and then he got like 6 points, so decent for me. So Gusto, Gabriel, Pedro Porro is my defense. My midfielder, Sterling, Gordon, De Bruyne, Palmer, Saka. Saka is my captain. I think that's the only like bad pick I had, like the bad captaincy pick for this week. Up front, I have Watkins and Alvarez. So a total of 75 points. Really happy with my game week. Really happy with how Arsenal did. 4-0. We're in a 5-5, yeah, sorry, because I was drinking the Dortmund game as well.
Yeah, Liverpool at the back of the head.
So 5-0, we ended up a long losing run of form, and we ended up with a bang with 5 goals in against Crystal Palace. So really happy. I think I'll go with 9 out of 10 for me this week.
Nice. I think deserving.
Okay, so I ended up with 78 points, 3 more points. So it's a monster week. So my transfer was to sell Nkunku. So on the pod, I was debating between Cunha and actually Tony. Yao Pedro wasn't in the radar. Like after the pod, I was listening to more content. Suddenly Yao Pedro's name popped up, and I decided to go with Pedro for the fixtures. I didn't think of him at all when we were podding. I was podding with Anwar. So I decided to go with Pedro. So my captaincy was always on Jota, thanks to Anwar. Anwar kind of reaffirmed it in the pod. So it kind of doubled down. I was really set on Jota.
Good call, man.
Yeah, thanks for approving the the division, I know.
It's a differential. you need it and you got it, man.
Yeah. So I was there already, but I know I was pushed me there. And my vice was Watkins. That's why I wasn't really convinced on Watkins. I didn't have Palmer and Saka. That's the reason why I had to go really rogue on captaincy. So maybe I got a bit lucky. If I had Palmer and Saka, I don't know. I really don't know who would be my captain. But anyway, my team is Areola and goal, Moreno, Estupinian. Back-to-back is 0-0 since I got him on my wildcard.
And he's never kept a clean sheet. Brighton has never kept a clean sheet, right?
Yeah.
Before these two games.
Correct.
Crazy.
Estupinian came back from injury. Suddenly, they become defensive monsters. Then Gusto, with 5 points. Captain Diogo Jota, 38 points. That's crazy.
Crazy, man.
That's my team.
My whole team point.
Bowen, Richarlison, Foden, Pedro, Alvarez. Okay, a lot of blankers. to be honest. My gaming rank is only 360k. Not the best, but my green arrow was quite big. 1.5 to 960k. Yeah, so inside the 1 million. Hopefully, I'll stay there. And my rating.
Let's go. Keep going.
Liverpool won, right? So it's been a good week, but then the fact that I'm still quite high in the ranking, right? If I was maybe inside the 100,000, right? I think this rating will be almost 9.5 out of 10. But I still think it's not that high because of where I am at in the ranking. So I'll give a rating 7.5.
Come on.
You sure that you're sensible, bro?
You cannot take into account your overall ranking, bro.
But I get where you're coming from, lah. It's okay.
I'm still hanging quite high. Right.
We ambitious people. We do well. We just want to do better. There's always that room for improvement. I get you, bro.
Bro, I'm still 100k, bro.
When I was doing well the last 2 weeks, right? I felt the same way, man.
Okay. Let's move on.
I know, man. Like a rogue captaincy pick gone right. Like when everyone else, probably the best captaincy options that you can pick.
I would
rate much higher than 7.5, man. Okay, well,
How much do you think I should give?
Close to a nine, man. Yeah.
At least a nine.
Nothing better than a feeling of having a differential captain and it working out for you. And everyone else, Saka.
Okay. Let's move on. Because I'm still quite highly ranked, as I said. Okay, anyway, that's my defense. But anyway, bro of the week, in this segment, we discuss players or teams that had exceeded our expectations. So, should we just start with the main guy, Jota? you see the second goal, bro? He disguised feint his shot then before he finished. No, the.
He didn't feint the shot,
Get it.
Yeah, but anyway, I think it was Jimmy Carragher said that he's a better finisher than Suarez, Fowler. Torres, all this.
He said as good as Fowler, which is ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement, in my opinion.
His finishing in front of goal is Fowler is a poacher. It's a very different type of player. I feel it's a different type of player. Fowler played a different era. Since we're here, right? Fowler played a different era. He's I won't say tap-in merchant, but he takes his chances really well. He's very Venice Troy, you get what I mean? If you put Fowler and Venice Troy in terms of finishing. But Jota not only creates chances, when he gets that one or two shots, right? He places it really well. He places it really, really well. I really if he stays, the only concern for Jota right now is his fitness. Right?
If you could take the finishing aspect of Jota's game into Darwin. That would make him a perfect player. Perfect player.
Maybe. Perfect player. I agree. That's a good point.
But Darwin, unfortunately, there are two separate players.
It's ice and fire. You can't compare these two.
Darwin also returned.
You don't know what's going to happen. Darwin also returned 11 points, but Jota got 19, man, at midfield. What a
clean. They got one. The clean sheet point also. I just got one clean sheet point for no reason because he's not even a midfielder. He's playing up front, right? So the midfielder really came through.
Where did he start? Did he start on the left or?
Okay. He started in the middle.
Yeah, and then Darwin Nunes was on the left. And then Diaz was on the right. I thought Diaz was a bit ineffectual on the right. And then they brought in Gakpo for Diaz and I think they shifted to more of a 4-1-2-1-2 formation with Gakpo, the roaming attacking midfielder. So I think that really changed the dynamics quite a little bit in terms of the chances that Darwin and Jota got.
Right? I guess you're right. I want to say Jota went to the right wing, but I guess he was more central, right?
He was very central. Right? So and then this youngster, man, what's his name? Bradley.
Bradley Cooper.
He came in. He just a quick one, right? One thing, like this Liverpool team, right? Like, I think the impact of a long-term manager on a youngster, right? We see what Jurgen Klopp has been doing. Like, he gets players out of nowhere and makes them perform well. And I feel like it's very, like it or not, I feel like it's very Ferguson-ish. You get what I mean? Like, the fact that he's created a very good dressing room, he's giving opportunities to youngsters, and youngsters are not afraid of making mistakes. And, I mean, hopefully this form continues, because we need it in the next two or three games, and then we're playing Arsenal again, and then that'll be the true test of, like, the absence of, like, Endo and Mo Salah. No. Yeah, but Mo Salah is out, man.
Can we talk about FPL this segment? Like, I want to ask JBK and you guys about Jota. Like, are y'all thinking of hearing of Salah's injury? He's quite 1 month-ish, so I think in the next 3 to 4 game weeks, he's quite viable, I feel. I think Jota is pretty viable. Are y'all thinking of getting him in?
JBK? Yeah, I think. I read Jota as a player. I think he's had some injury issues this season, right? I think
he had few seasons.
Yeah, and I think with this good performance that he had, and then the opportunity he has, I think, more nailed in the team with Salah away, I think that will give him a good run of games to go. So I kind of like him as an option. I am considering him, actually. Yeah. Because I also have Sterling in my team. I want to kind of move on from Sterling in my team. I think Jota will be a good option for that. Yeah.
Like, for me, because I already have Diaz in, and
I made a bit already,
so I'm not booking in a transfer for another Liverpool asset. Probably is DS to Jota. So,
but if you were buying fresh, recommend
Jota will be, if this performance, like, I had to make the decision this week, I would Jota over DS. No brainer. Jota will probably be the first one.
But I would have to say that it's the Salah's injury that kind of pushed me towards the decision more. It's more nailed, and then, like, he's getting a start in a center forward position. I think it worked out for him this week. It looks like, I think, maybe that's how Klopp is going to play in the next few games with how successful we went. So I think with that consideration, I think that's the reason why I would go for Jota instead. Yeah,
and he's on form. I think the reason why I got him on wildcard is he's been on form. He's looked good. I mean, if you look at the stats, right, he only had 2 shots, 2 goals. But if you look at the whole overall play, right, he was pivotal to the attack. And I think he looked good. His build up and all. Yeah, he's just on form. So yeah, he's a good pick. I think Darwin is a good pick too. I don't know. If Salah is out, I will get. I'm thinking of Darwin, man. Like, I still think he's a good option. No, I don't. But I still think.
But surprising. I mean, like, 10 goals, 10 assists, it's
all competitions.
Stats. I mean, I didn't expect that out of him.
I think Darwin is a good pick. I don't know. I still think Darwin is probably more nil than Jota long term, even Salah is back. And I think, remember I said Darwin over Jota for Liverpool? I still think that's the case. I still think his minutes is more. And yeah, I just love Darwin. Anyway, shall we move on? Who else do you guys want
this
to brew?
ABK.
I think De Bruyne.
Take the crown, man.
Yeah.
I would have to.
Crazy, man.
I would have to go with.
Some stats. So 21 minutes, right? Against Newcastle. 9 crosses. Created 3 chances. 2 shots. 1 goal, 1 assist. 21 minutes. And he got 20 points? 12 points. And in that same game, right? Both Foden and Alvarez had 6 shots each. I think they were a bit unlucky not to return. I mean, I was watching the game as owners, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, to see KDB coming out with 12 points, if you know me, he's just crazy.
If KDB stays fit, it's Man City's title. It's going to be difficult to stop this Man City team with KDB inside, with Rodri inside, with Haaland inside.
What's more slick than his passes or not?
His hair.
His new haircut, man.
I'm not loving it. The hairstyle.
I'm loving it, bro.
I like the budak-budak kind of, haircut that he always had.
His haircut is probably what Grealish wanted but couldn't pull off.
I don't like it. It's a bit.
But the last pass to Oscar Bob.
Yeah.
That was just. Like crazy. Even on FIFA, right? Like, you can see the run, right? But you probably couldn't execute that pass. but he's just insane, man.
Yeah. So, but I mean, like, you have to give credits to Oscar Baum also, who managed to good control. First touch. Yeah, that cross really took Trippier out of the games. Yeah, like really, like he couldn't reach the ball at all. Oscar Baum like managed to control the ball well and put it past the keeper, Newcastle keeper. Yeah,
and really good. And goal. I think it's also a good opportunity now with Salah potentially out with injury. We don't know how long, they say like probably two weeks, but now the medics are saying like initial one was
not two weeks. Oh yeah, 21 to 28 days now.
Yeah, but then now according it's extended to like 3 to a month.
Yeah,
and we don't know because it's a hamstring injury, it might be like those niggles and all this. So I think it's a good opportunity to bring in De Bruyne as well with a premium space in midfield opening up.
We'll talk about it later.
Let's move on. Okay, I want to talk more about Richarlis.
I want to talk about City. Arsenal.
Before you go Arsenal, just quickly talk about a question. Basically, Alvin asking about how do you think teams will face without their main guys away, right, in international duty. I want to talk about, he asked about every team, Spurs, Liverpool and West Ham, but let's talk about Spurs. So Spurs without Son. So Richarlison, I'm a Richarlison owner. So like, he's directly involved in 10 Premier League goals. Yeah, so in the last 7 games, right, he got the highest XG, no penalties. So yeah, he's a guy on form, and I think with Werner taking Son's position, I think Spurs is still a good team without Son. What do you think of Spurs and Richarlison?
Yeah, I kind of regret not bringing Richarlison. I put in Neto instead, but I made my bet. I'm quite happy with my pick, even though Neto didn't return, and I'll explain why later. But I think Richarlison, he's in form lah, and I think he's the kind of player that he needs to play with a lot of confidence, and with this kind of confidence, he will return. He will continue returning lah. So Pigeon Man, Sir Pigeon Man is back, man.
Who?
Yeah, Pigeon.
Pigeon Man.
You don't know Pigeon.
You haven't seen the celebration, no?
You don't know the celebration.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, the guy, that's so annoying. Okay.
Yeah, he's thinking it's Pigeon also lah.
Yeah, okay, Arsenal, you want to move on to Arsenal? Is Arsenal a rose?
So,
I thought you want to rose Arsenal.
So, just now when you were asking me to take the stage, you were thinking that I was going to say Arsenal, is it?
Yeah, 5-0 after a return. I mean, you got to give it to them.
To be honest, it was a boring game. Yeah. Like, I was watching it in a pub actually with my friend. Yeah, because he's a
Dortmund. What were you drinking?
I was drinking a bitter lemon, bro, bitter lemon.
Up first nice. Off just split it. Maybe that's why you're bitter about the 5-0 win.
Yeah, but okay, it was kind of a boring game. Like. I felt like it was an easy... Crystal Palace didn't put up a fight. Yeah. I think it was kind of easy for Arsenal. It was a rather boring game, I would say, that we won. But I think I'd rather take a boring 5-0 win than an exciting, I don't know, 4-3 or something.
But I think this game also gives... You go first?
Continue. No. You know you go first.
I think it's a good segue into our rose of the week as well, because I think my number one rose of this week will be Crystal Palace. Dean Henderson was in goal. Before that, Johnston, he was really dominating, like helping out with the defence. With Dean Henderson in, I think it was like 3 set pieces that they considered.
Yep.
You know, 2 set pieces that they considered. There was a third one that was disallowed. But he didn't control the penalty box at all with the corners. And I felt that like the whole team was static. He didn't know where to position himself. I still have Guehi. Guehi dropped already for, I think he dropped by 0.1 million this week. And I didn't have opportunities to sell him yet. Crystal Palace was having like a couple of games with good runs of clean sheet. The defense looked like a decent pick for a low price defender, but I think we just got to stay away from them as long as Dean Henderson is in goal, man.
Yeah. Alvin asking why Gabriel's second goal attributed as a Dean Henderson own goal.
I have no idea also, actually.
Own goal. La.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of which, Saka, so I think he's probably rose worthy. 5 blanks in the last 6. So as a Saka owners, right, I think you guys own Saka. Any concerns? What are your thoughts?
I think he looked okay. Like he, I felt that it was more balanced the game. Like it wasn't really going through Saka much. Like I think there was a lot of attacks going in from the left as well. I think that's kind of promising to see. All right. And if I think opponents have to look out for on the left side as well, I think that is good for Saka, in such that now the focus is not really on defending Saka, but like a kind of an overall defense for the left and the right side. Yeah, so I think it looked like there was a lot coming in from the left, and if opponents have to be wary about the left, I think they will have to put more resources on the left as well, and I think that will eventually give Saka more space. Yeah, so I'm actually not that worried. I think Saka
not concerned.
Yeah, I think Saka would.
I don't think you should sell him. Yeah. But anyway, okay, on X, right? I know EBK, your account got hacked, but we'll talk about that later. But Late Riser kind of defended Saka, saying that he was more central. Then he got a lot of hate because he's very popular, right? Saying that he's just saying that just to hold Saka for another reason. But his point was Saka was very central, even though he only had two shots, but. Is that true? Was Saka more central?
I don't know.
Was he less wider?
I didn't feel that, like that. I didn't feel like he was more central or anything. I felt like he played the same way. It's just that Arsenal's attack was more balanced. Yeah, I think in a way that they utilized a lot on the left as well. Yeah, I think lots of the goals. I think Martinelli goal. I think he had like two carbon copy goals in the injury time.
He could have passed to him, the second one, right?
Yeah.
But he wouldn't, because he's 4-0 already. Maybe it was 1-0, maybe he would have. But Anwar, concerns?
Not much of a concern. I think he's still integral to this team. Again, because they were already up front, like with quite a bit of goals. I think like the I won't say the desire is not there, but like he didn't have to put in the 100% to see out the game lah. But I feel that if there's any game changer in big games, hopefully Saka will be there and about lah.
Okay. So I'm let's still move on okay to Saka as a pick. Another player that is of concern too. Five blanks in the last seven games. Watkins, his last goal was in game week 17. Before that, it was game week 14. So he's pretty much in the Saka bracket too. Like, I mean, he's been disappointing. That's for sure. Highly owned. What you guys think?
As
Watkins owners,
I think with the return of Tony, right, I think that brings a very kind of. Important question that all FPL managers should answer. I think whether they should replace Watkins with Tony. I think Tony is like the kind of the shiny new toy now with his free kick that he kind of shifted the ball
5 meters
for the goal.
He shifted the chalk also, bro. He shifted the chalk.
Yeah, he shifted the chalk also, bro.
double shift.
goalpost.
I think.
Yeah, but who for me, up front, like apart from Watkins.
So for me, Watkins doesn't have penalties also, right? Like, I think even Solanke is a better set, I feel like he's on penalty. I think you have players that are on penalties. And but I still think he's an okay hold. But like, when you're looking for to doublers and all, I think he's expendable. I'll put Saka in the same bracket too, especially if you're buying like Man City or Liverpool assets who's going to double in 25. I will put Watkins and Saka equally expendable, in my opinion.
I feel like it's a good opportunity for us to move from Watkins to Tony at the moment.
Who else, Tony Solanke.
I think Yao Pedro is a good call as well. Honestly, I think Yao Pedro is a good call. He seems to win his favor.
Penalties.
By the team, and he's on penalties. So I think
penalties is a big thing. Penalties. I feel like you can just play badly and you return, right? Like Watkins play badly and then he will blank lah. But if you're on penalties, right, you play badly, you might get a 9-pointer for playing badly. I think if you're on penalties, but I think Watkins is definitely expendable, but not like an urgent sell lah. I feel it's a wait and hold lah. Shall we move? Any other roasters?
Yeah, I'm going to roast VAR, man. Like, generally, I feel that there needs to be a lot more consistency. There's a couple of calls. I think the West Ham were hard done by with the second penalty. I think Areola, he was given a penalty because he fouled the attacker, right? But I felt like the arms were around his face first.
That's my
opinion.
That was poor.
Yeah, that was poor.
You're talking about the... The Bournemouth one, right? The red card.
Yeah,
right?
There's another tackle from Justin Kluivert on Lucho.
Is it Lucho?
Okay. So thankfully Lucho is okay. But I mean, if you paused it at where it was, it would have been a red card like Curtis Jones got in a very crucial game. And then I don't know, I just feel like VAR is supposed to improve the game, but we're into the second half of the season and I think from an FPL point of view, so it changes a lot of things. Like the inconsistencies.
We can't predict that lah. I mean,
we can't predict. So which is why, going back to ABK's point, you cannot really say which goalkeeper is gonna get your clean sheet points. So based on that VAR decisions alone, right, I just feel that goalkeepers, save your money on them.
Okay, Faris asking, right, should Jesus' Counter-Strike account be unbanned only until he scores from a soccer assist or assist a soccer goal? What's the story? No,
he just posted publicly that his Counter-Strike account got banned. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly for what. But I think...
for missing the targets.
Okay,
I think I think he needs to put like his real job first over his hobbies. So I think,
or he should get a 2FA, two-factor authentication. If not, he cannot get hacked.
You know who he should learn from? Not he should learn from Diogo Jota, bro. Jota is like a professional FIFA player. Yeah, no? He's really good.
But Jesus play FIFA, not?
I don't think so.
Counter-Strike.
Jesus more of a CS guy.
Okay, let's quickly cover a couple of questions before we move on to the next part. Lemon's asking, do you see the question? So he's asking about any like bottom table, like any team in the bottom table right now that will surprise, and that is worth a pun.
Oh, tough one.
So so like bottom half. Sorry.
How about Everton? For me, like defensive options from Everton. I think Dyke Ball is finally coming back in. I'll be seeing a more defensive solidarity. Was it more defensive solidity lah?
Yeah.
In terms of Mikelenko this Everton team.
Big fight.
Yeah.
Big fight. And so also the one step on DCL, right? He's the biggest underachiever so far this season. He only scored 3 goals from an XG of 7.4. So if you think that he will improve, so I think DCL, if he's playing every week, he could be an option in the future. Yeah, I'm thinking Everton too. That's the first team that came to mind. Do you have any team from the bottom half?
I think Brentford with Tony back.
Where is the bottom half?
Sitting in 14 at the moment. 14. Yeah. So I think things will look out for them with Tony in the team. They need a kind of a striker to score. I mean, Tony has to stay in Brentford for this effect to happen, but I think with the Tony, I think Brentford will kind of continue to improve.
Agree. Wolves and Newcastle points.
Wolves and Newcastle, yeah. Newcastle, I mean, like crazy, since Wolves is on 11th place, right? I just want to defend my Pedro Neto pick. Okay, I thought that despite blanking, he was quite he was showing the glimpses of form that he had before he went out for injury. So I was, even though he got 3 points, he could have scored one, I think. Like it was a wide off the post or something like that, if I recall correctly. But I feel that I was quite satisfied with the performance.
How's your Pedro?
Your Pedro? I didn't
want to highlight because
he's
nil.
No, but he didn't really stand out So I just feel that Neto was. Was promising.
Speedy Gonzalez.
I think if you're looking, and then he's a very good option to give you like that 3-5-2, or like if you want to convert to a 4-4-2, or even like a 4-3-3 formation. I think Neto enables that.
Okay, last question before I move on to the next part. Elvin asking about teams that without their star players, right? So West Ham without Kudus. So I think West Ham's game, right? I think Bowen, right? I think he was pretty unlucky not to return. I feel. I think Ings got the returns, and then like Cornet for now. I think it's a bit of a makeshift team, but I still think Bowen was decent. And I think West Ham was pretty unlucky.
You watch the game?
No, just highlights.
I just felt that game, right? Like Ings, right? I don't know. Like, he's an interesting option as well. I think he's an interesting option.
Not long term.
I don't know. Like he played, he showed the form that he played in was it Southampton?
Southampton, yeah. Long term.
They're pretty decent, I think what this West Ham team has been missing is a proper number 9 up front, right? They used to have right back convert for Antonio. Antonio
Scamacca is out,
but I think you have Danny Ings, and then if you imagine him being supplemented by Kudus and Bowen behind him, I think he's an interesting one to watch, in my opinion. If he stays fit.
Cornet look okay. I think he looks okay. He's caught, and he's not in the FCON, surprisingly. I don't know why he didn't make the squad. Ivory Coast, right? They lost 4-0 to Equatorial Guinea. That's why they don't have cornea. That's why they lost. But anyway, I think they look fine. That's answering Elvin's question. West Ham, I think he's talking about Bowen. I think Bowen is a fine keep. I think he was a bit unlucky not to return.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we wrap it up?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll be moving on to the next segment. Stay tuned. In the next episode, we'll be covering a couple of things. We'll start off with Strategy Corner. So you'll hear some of the strategies that we have in place, especially now we're into the thick of things. We're into the second half of the season. I think there's some players out there who's asking if it's still there's still opportunities to push ahead in the rankings, and there's definitely a lot of games left to play. Right, we're in game week 21. There's 17 more games left to play. So it's a lot of games. We've got chips to play. We've got our free hit. We've got our wild card to play. Our triple captaincy option if you haven't. And these could actually be game changer. Imagine if Lukman actually used his triple captain on Jota and really went all in, right? I think that would really that would really have pushed me. But we will talk about how we'll probably use these chips later. And then we'll tackle some questions regarding FPL and what it's like, what it's going to be like for game week 22. So that's our preview for game week 22. And listen to our hot takes, man. We're going to decide if it's the right time to bring De Bruyne in right now. Right, De Bruyne over who? Now or wait? Right, so if you want to find out more, stay tuned, listen to our next spot, and we'll share our views on that one.
We are FPL Kopi Talks, signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.